This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen. Paris really is a tale of two cities. One is above ground, with its beloved Eiffel Tower and Arc de Triomphe. Then there's the Paris very few people see. Underground, there are hidden limestone quarries dating back centuries. They provided the stone for Notre Dame Cathedral and the Louvre and scores of monumental buildings. The mining left behind a labyrinth, 180 miles of tunnels. In its February issue, National Geographic explores underground Paris, and it's such a maze down there that even a lifelong caver like photographer Steven Alvarez can get lost.
I've spent thousands of hours underground, but I go in here and I'm lost immediately. I mean, without someone to show me around, I'd wander around till I died.
National Geographic's Steven Alvarez invited NPR's intrepid Jackie Leiden along for several weeks. Jackie concentrated on the men and women who make up the cataphiles, clandestine urban spelunkers whose world lies 60 feet below the City of Light.
To be a cataphile in the catacombs, it helps to have feline nerves for crawling through tight spaces. One of the most popular entrances to the labyrinth of the souterrain, the underground, lies off an abandoned railroad that encircles Paris. You hike along its tracks, preferably in the dark, to avoid the police, and then squeeze through a human being-sized wormhole and drop 20 feet and 200 years back into the past, leaving the modern world far above you and lonely you amid the silent bones, rocks, and antiquities in yawning, pitched darkness. And it can be wet as well. Our guide on my first night down with the National Geographic crew is a charming 22-year-old French student, Daniel Garnier-Moyroux.
What I do is I walk on one side and then I use my hands on the other side.
Ernest, with a long ponytail, who's telling me how to walk through a flooded tunnel by straddling it, sliding my boots on a tiny underwater ledge. My boots shimmy right off, wet feet for hours. Daniel is a student at the prestigious École des Mines, the School of Mines. Every year, the school has a sort of field trip down below.
There are two second-year guides with a group of 10 freshmen. At some point, they say stop. They take everyone's lights and they give candles. And you explore the catacombs, a place you don't know, with candles. But the problem is you cannot see what's in front of you, and the only thing you see is the candle. It's amazing. It's a completely different experience.
Daniel, do you think about how far underground you are when you're doing that?
Not really. Mm-hmm. Not really.
What do you think about?
I know it's from 10 to 30 meters underground, mm-hmm. depending on the place. I know about the accidents that can happen. For example, there's a phenomenon that's called the fonti. That's when the ceiling collapses. And that created great problems. That's actually why they created the inspection of quarries.
Collapses are what Paris fears. A huge one in 1961 killed 21 people. But it's the historic collapse of 1774 which is responsible for creating the inspection of the quarries. It came on a street then called Rue d'Enfer, literally the Street of Hell. The threat the quarries posed, concentrated on the south bank of the River Seine, was revealed. King Louis XVI, who would later lose his head during the Revolution, saved Paris by appointing his own architect, Charles-Axel Guillemot, to be the quarry inspector general. Guillemot mapped the quarries. He consolidated loose stones. He made walls at right angles, whose names match the streets above. This went on until the late 1800s. Daniel points out the carbon black lettering etched into the stone walls, the best way for cataphiles to tell direction.
It's a number, then a letter, then another number. The number on the right is the year when that wall was made.
1895.
K is for the first letter of the name of the inspector of the quarries who supervised this. And 4 is the number of the wall. That's the fourth wall he made in 85.
We turn a corner and encounter an amazing scene. Cataphile artists touching up a mural rolling along three sides of an underground room. The mural is a copy of the famous painting by the Japanese artist Hokusai, The Wave. The joke is that the sandy area here is called La Plage, the beach. The muralist weaves over to us and gives us his one-word kata name.
Psychos.
Psychos. Kata noms de cave are de rigueur because this is technically illegal. Yet Psychos has, for 30 years, been going down to what he calls the crossroads.
The catacomb is the cross of the world. Yeah. Everybody's coming here. You cross somebody from L.A., somebody from London, somebody from South Africa, somebody from... And everybody is in the totally naked because there is just dark. There's nothing. It's dead space, you know.
Well, metaphorically naked and not totally dead space. Nothing makes an underground tomb room more alive than a good bottle of bubbly.
We have to drink to something.
We drink to our leaders, but secretly, I'm drinking to getting out of here intact. There's another way to deal with all this dark space, and that's to light it up. While Stephen Alvarez sets out his cameras, one of our party, Louise, douses some batons with alcohol to create fire sticks. But we may have celebrated a bit too soon. Some of the tightest, most restricted spaces are still to come. The notorious cat holes, spaces in which you feel as if you're being encased in rock as you wriggle through. A week later, with another cat of feel, comes the moment I've been dreading.
Can I leave you here for a couple of minutes?
Yeah, you can leave me.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
Oh, if you're not afraid to be alone here in that kind of place.
No.
I'll be back soon.
Okay.
So now I'm alone down here. What do I think about this?
Well, I think...
I feel like Kristen Scott Thomas in the Cave of Swimmers in the English Patient movie. And I wish I had more light, but I'm fine.
Yeah, I just don't want to die down here, waiting for Ralph Fiennes to show up in that rickety biplane.
Instead, I wait anxiously for Gilles Cypre. He's a famed 35-year-old cataphile, an engineer and graduate of the École des Mines, who spent the past year carrying below heavy loads of plaster of Paris, a ton in all, to make a huge mural few people will ever see. The mural lies at the dead end of a tunnel. A robed figure is ferrying a woman over what looks like the River Styx.
It's a painting by a symbolist, a painter from the 19th century, whose name is Arnold Böcklin. I was always fascinated by this picture because although it's about death, it's not a sad picture. Mm-hmm. You have a kind of peaceful state of mind or serenity about it.
Cypre finished in April and painted four masks hovering above the painting. Below, he added an inscription.
It's a Latin inscription. Which says, in girum imus nocte et consumimur igni, we walk in circle in the night and we're consumed by fire. Mm. And the particular thing about that inscription is that you can read it either one way or backwards.
Oh, yes.
And it reads the same.
It's a palindrome.
It's a palindrome, exactly.
Cypre, who now works for a large corporation and travels the world, says this is the third mural he's created in 15 years below ground.
I wouldn't want too many people to know about it. Just keep it like a really secret place, something you can discover when you're just walking there by chance.
Actually, there's a lot you could stumble on by chance in this endless maze of tunnels. There's graffiti from the Reign of Terror, like a tiny painted guillotine and baskets for heads. Bunkers. Both the French Resistance and the Nazis had bunkers below. There's so much that cataphile historian Gilles Thomas has written the definitive atlas. He shows me what everyone wants to see.
Ladies first, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Ladies
if
first.
If you want to cry, not hesitate.
If I want to cry, okay. Why am I going to cry? Oh, I see. Okay. It's a bone pile, a very, very old bone pile. I'm looking at a rubble of femurs and tibia and even some skulls here.
When Paris emptied its cemeteries in the central part of the city in the late 19th century, 6 million Parisians were disinterred and disarticulated. Some of their bones wound up as macabre art in the official consecrated catacombs, tourists welcome. The rest were left here in large disorderly heaps of human bones, ossuaries.
There are 5-6 small ossuaries, but we don't know how many, the bones of how many people are in these ossuaries.
Okay, this may seem like an odd place to party, but cataphiles don't mind if they disturb the dead and raise the ghosts. The catacombs are considered great places for a rave. Cat is a 24-year-old cataphile, and it's the only name she'll give me. We've met at a bus stop and crawled down a manhole together to the largest chamber I've yet seen below ground, which appears able to hold a couple hundred people. And she's asked me...
Do you want to crawl or do you want to walk?
Do I want to crawl or do I want to walk? Those are fighting words. We're about the same size. If she's crawling, so am I. Kat loves adventure and fellow adventurers.
And it's difficult to have a boyfriend who doesn't appreciate the same thing, because you can't have a boyfriend and tell him every weekend, look, darling, I'm going underground with only men to drink and walk around, and I don't know what time I'll be coming home. And if I don't come home, it means I'm at the police.
In fact, Kat's boyfriend arranged tonight's rave, but as I watch the crowd, I wonder, there are so many now gyrating around. What about the cops?
I've met them twice. It's part of the game, meeting the police. Because we're here, we know it's illegal, we're not supposed to be here. So if you meet them, they'll bring you back to the surface, they'll fine you, and then they tell you you're supposed to go home.
The police, also called catacops, may tolerate single cataphiles, but they do crack down on parties. Tonight, it turns out, they're waiting up top by the manhole to arrest people one by one as they leave. So Cat and another cataphile hatch an escape route, crawl out another way, through an underground parking lot. I blithely agree until I see, sometime before dawn, what appears not much bigger than the eye of a needle.
Your arms first, your both arms first. You want me to pull?
Perfect.
Perfect. I'm in the sixth underground level of an underground parking lot. It's utterly surreal. And when we come out, it's pouring rain. The night ends with a whimper. Today, I'm visiting the cataphile who pulled me out of the hole in the underground parking lot at his home, where he's listening to some favorite music. His name is David Bobinet. His forebears have long lived in this neighborhood between the military hospital, Val de Grasse, and the Paris Observatory. Prominent people. He's now a filmmaker, father, and almost 40, but as a child, he forged a rebellious path. He calls the underground going downstairs, and he lives just above the catacombs.
I start to go into catacombs and careers. I was all around 12 with some friends, without going to school sometimes.
I'm sure you weren't telling your parents or anything like this.
They were aware of everything.
They were?
Yes, they were.
What was their attitude about it?
So I was really a rebel before, so it was something very quiet to do that, because I was not doing something really bad, you know, except going somewhere where it's prohibited, but it was like an obsession.
Have you thought about why?
It was a mystery. Also the fear of the dark and the notion of a labyrinth. To be afraid to get lost and to know like a parallel world. Under Paris, you know, which is kind of the inverse.
He points to a map on his computer.
I want to show you where I'm living. We are very close to La Closerie des Lilas, which is a very famous French Parisian restaurant. I used to sleep on the ground just below this place.
Today, when Bobinet walks a few blocks away and entertains clients at La Closerie des Lilas, he could think about the famous who've come here, Hemingway and Gertrude Stein and Sartre and de Beauvoir, or about his boyhood days directly below in the catacombs.
We were totally lost in time for 1 week.
You actually slept in a hammock slung down below this very place.
It's like 24 meters below us just right now. I will take you to the place on Sunday.
We did go downstairs with a group of his friends, and as one woman said, it was the best human adventure ever. As my journeys ended, I thought, what Parisians really have in their basements are catacombs. I kept thinking about what I was told my very first night below. Remember when Daniel, the student cataphile, told me about going down with nothing but a candle? To me, that sounded enticing. So in early December, I went back to join Daniel and members of the freshman class of École des Mines as they descended on a chilly gray morning into the catacombs. They were being baptized by their classmates in medieval robes.
Yeah, we have a secret part for the baptism because it's kind of our identity. It's a very strict ritual.
You said people are dressed like monks?
You can't know. I'm sorry.
All right.
I wasn't allowed to look at them, but I could hear them.
Baptiseur.
And as they were being initiated, they chanted.
Pauvres zombies, le monde des morts nous collume, avec leurs âmes sans habit, aux sombres couleurs posthumes.
Poor zombies, the world of the dead we knew, with their naked souls of dark, unearthly hues, only the arduous journey across a stormy and muddy sea leads us to untangle the sacred web of forbidden mystery. And then they celebrate it with a song.
On est perdu dans les catacombes. On est perdu, on est perdu, on est perdu dans les catacombes.
We're lost in the catacombs. So, should you find yourself in Paris, you might want to visit the underworld. Or if that's too horrible, how about being an armchair cataphile? Check out Stephen Alvarez's photos and the story in National Geographic, or go to our website, npr.org. Cataphiles will be waiting to take you to what lies beneath Paris in the souterrain, the underground. Jackie Leiden, NPR News.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.